If you have your Bibles tonight, I want you to turn with me for a few moments again to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, we're going to deal with one verse and one statement that is in this passage of Romans chapter 1. We're going to be looking in verse 31. Now this morning I dealt with Romans chapter 1, if you recall, if you were awake. I dealt with Romans chapter 1, and I shared with you five steps that lead down to the pit of destruction. I talked about the matter of ignorance of that God has given, not because it was not given, but having eyes to see, men refused to see. The truth challenged men, but he took it. And he turned it into his own condemnation. God revealed himself through nature, and yet man turned that, instead of to salvation, he turned it to condemnation. We also talked about the second step, and that is the step of ingratitude. Not being thankful for what God has revealed himself, that he has revealed himself. We also talked about imagination, how the imagination of the hearts were vain. And then we talked about how that led to idolatry, and finally, how it led to immorality. Now tonight, the result of all of this refusal of God and the refusal to accept the fact of God led to a very terrible, depraved pit. Beginning down at verse number 29, you'll find the result of those in the lives of those who have refused a knowledge and an acceptance and a surrender to the Lord. He says that they were being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Now watch this. Without understanding, covenant breakers. And here's what I want to talk to you about tonight. Without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Let's pray. Father, may the message that you have laid on our heart tonight penetrate our hearts. Lord, by no force of personality, by no force of ingenuity, will we be able to convince men of thy truth. And we are dependent upon thee. May the Holy Spirit of God permeate this place, and may He speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to be open, receptive, and responsive to what you have to say to us in these moments, and we'll thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. There's a verse back over in the book of the Psalms, in Psalm 14. The first part of it, I think we are all very, very acquainted with. In Psalm 14, at verse 1, the Word of God has this to say, and you'll remember it. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. But I want you to watch the latter part of that statement. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Now, when God is rejected, there is the ultimate result of the utter depravity of man. When God's truth is rejected, there can be naught else but a sliding into the pit of utter depravity. Now, one of the things that Paul mentions here in verse 31, if you'll notice, is the resultant without natural affection. The question is, what is natural affection? Now, I think it is evident from an observation of the world in which you and I live that we are not living in a natural world and society. We are living in an unnatural world and an unnatural society. Now, we compare our society with that God established creatively. The natural thing that God had established, that's what we call natural. But yet again, there is a tragedy that came in and brought about an unnatural situation. Now, let me talk to you just a minute about what is natural. The word natural comes from a Greek word that originally signifies that which is produced by nature. That is, that which is inborn within an individual. According to nature, that is. That's what we're talking about. According to nature. Now, here in this first chapter of Romans, at verse 26 and 27, the Lord talks about how unnatural man and women have become as a result of sin. Look at verse 26 and verse 27. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change, watch this, the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. That is, which was the necessity as a result of the case. Now then, the Lord talks about the things that are natural. And so there are many things that are natural for us. For example, it is natural for a human being to love life. Would you agree with that? I mean, it's natural for us. We love life. We'll do everything we can. We'll spend every dollar we have in order to sustain life and to keep on living. That is a natural thing. You don't have to be taught that. It is just a natural thing. Not only is it natural for a human being to love life, but let me mention something else. It is a natural thing for a mother to love her baby. Would you agree with that? I mean, it's natural. A mother loves her baby. But yet there are many unnatural things in this world. Women abort their children in order just to have some selfish pursuit in life fulfilled. That is an unnatural thing. The natural thing is that a mother love her baby. Not only that, it is natural for a man to love food. Amen. I mean pinto beans, turnip greens, sal belly, fat back. I mean, it's just natural for a fella to love food. That's right, Carl turned his lips up. But anyway, it's natural for a man to love food. I mean, it's natural. I mean, you don't have to go to a university to learn how to love food. It is also natural, listen to me, for a man to love a woman. It is not natural for a man to love a man in that sense. And it is not natural for a man to love two women. It is not natural. It's unnatural. That's what the Bible is saying. And so it is a natural thing for a man to love a woman and vice versa. Let me say that. It is natural for the soul of a man to love peace, tranquility. I mean, we love that. We want peace. We want tranquility. We want that calmness in life. That's a natural thing. And yet sometimes you find people who just simply want to stir strife. All they want to do is just create a big commotion. All they want to do is to create some kind of confusion. Well, that's not natural. That's unnatural as far as the as we can discern. And then it is natural for a man to love good health. How many of you love good health, huh? Sure you do. Sure you do. And you do everything, take it from Tylenol to aspirin and everything else. You love good health. And I guarantee you, I do too. And it's natural. It is a natural thing. Let me say something else. It is natural for a child to love home. It is natural for a child to love home. Now, if that these things are not present, there is something that is unnatural. In other words, if a human being does not love life, there's something unnatural about that. Something's gone wrong. If a mother does not love her baby, something has gone wrong. And you read sometimes in the paper about mothers who will abandon their children. They'll leave them on doorsteps, put them in a garbage bag. And you read all of those horrible things. That is not a natural thing. Something has gone wrong. And when a person does not love peace, there's something that has gone wrong in that person's life. We love by nature the effect of peace. And if a child does not love home, I guarantee you there's something wrong in the home. Or there's something wrong in the child. It is just simply natural for these things. So then what I'm trying to tell you tonight is this. When these and other things are not present, something has gone wrong. In other words, there could be something wrong physically. There could be something wrong mentally. There could be something wrong emotionally. Or there could be something wrong, as is many of the case, spiritually. These things then can cause the natural things to go wrong. God has made us and made us in the natural. You remember Adam, the natural thing for Adam, when God came into the garden, I believe before sin entered, the natural thing for Adam was to seek the presence of God. Would you agree with that? I think he wanted to be in God's presence. I think he wanted to have God's fellowship. But when Adam disobeyed God, the unnatural occurred. That is, he ran from the presence of God. He didn't want to hear the word of God. He didn't want to sense the presence of God. And my friend, listen to me. If you are a born again child of God tonight, and these things are present in your life, it is an unnatural thing when you want to run away from God. And when you want to run away from his church, when you want to run away from his precious word. Now the word natural originally signifies that which is produced by nature. That is, that which is inborn within us. Or, could I say, that which is according to nature. Now, Paul talks about, in this first chapter of Romans, he talks about the unnaturalness of sexual relationships. How women burned in their lust toward women. How men burned in their lust toward men. And I'm going to tell you, it's a tragic thing we live in today. When even our government approves of such. And would enlist in the governmental administration of our country those who have indeed committed themselves to homosexuality and lesbianism. I don't care what society, I don't care what the government says, I don't care what Slick Willie says, I'm going to guarantee you, God condemns the matter of homosexuality and lesbianism. And I'm sorry to say that. And that's not my opinion. I'm just simply telling you what God has to say. Furthermore, let me tell you something else. Let me ask you to read something. Let me ask you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. Why don't you look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. And the verse says, that not even nature. I mean, you don't have to go to the church. But doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. Amen. Now listen, don't mess with me about it. I didn't write that verse. But I believe it's still a shame. I believe it's contrary to nature for a man to have long hair. Now you can feel, you can take any opinion you want to, but I'm going to tell you now, I don't think it's of God. These fellows run around here looking like a woman, earrings in her ears and necklaces around her neck looking like a woman. I don't believe that's of God. I don't believe that's right. And yet again, it's a shame. That's what God says. I didn't say it. Fuss at God about it. Call him up and talk to him about it. I'm just telling you, as his messenger, that is a shame. That's what God says. Nature itself teaches you that. You don't have to go to a church to hear that. You don't have to go to Washington to hear that. All you have to do is hear what God says through nature. It's just not in accord with nature. So what we mean by natural is the course of man's nature according to its divine and original purpose. I don't believe God ever intended for a man to look like a woman. I don't believe God ever intended for a woman to look like a man. You're too pretty to look like a man. God help you if you want to look like a man. I mean, that's the ugliest species on the face of God's earth. God help you to keep looking like a woman and be happy about it and and glorify God in it. I like that. Praise God. Anyway, Kenneth Weiss said it like this. When he talks about the word natural without natural affection, he said it refers to the love of parents for children, children for parents, husband for wife, and wife for husband. I have so many people come to me and say, well, I just don't love him anymore. I want to tell you something. God has given love in your heart. He bestowed that love in your heart. Now watch this. And you have a choice to give that love wherever you want to. God gave you that choice. And you can make a choice. Well, you say, I just don't love him. You can leave here tonight and say, I choose to love him. I choose to love him. Well, you say, you don't do so and so and so. Yeah, you can choose to love him. You can choose to love her. Love is a choice, and God has bestowed that in your heart, and you give it to whoever you love. It's like this. Somebody gives you a truckload of watermelons. You say, hey, I'm going to give these watermelons to so-and-so. You have a choice. I mean, you can give them wherever you want to give. God has shed abroad his love in our heart, and we can give that, I guarantee you, wherever we choose. Well, that's another sermon, but anyway, I'll leave it at that tonight. Nonetheless, there are natural things. Now, in the book of 1 Corinthians, I'd like you to turn here just a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and look at verse 46. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and look at verse 46. And the scripture says this. Now, Paul is speaking concerning the resurrection order. And he has this to say, but I want to draw from this what he says. Verse 46. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. You see that? And afterward, that which is spiritual. Now, I'm taking this perhaps out of its context, but it relates a principle. In other words, though Paul's talking about the resurrection, I think here's a principle. First, there's the natural. Love for life, love for wife, love for food, love for health. That's a natural thing. But then comes the spiritual. Now, there are things that are natural in life of the one who is born spiritually. You and I who are saved not only have a natural life, but we have a spiritual life. Now, how do you get that spiritual life? John chapter 3, Jesus talks about to Nicodemus, and he said, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, how can I be born when I'm old? Can I enter my mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, or physical, and that which is born of the spirit is spiritual. Now then, a spiritual life comes when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Now there are certain things that are natural to the spiritual life of the born again believer. Some things that are just simply natural. Now, let me just mention one or two of those and I'll be through. First of all, I think one of the things that are natural to the spiritual person, that is the person who's been born again, first of all, is the fact of praise. When you got saved, I want to ask you something. What did you feel like doing? Huh? Come on now, tell me. You felt like thanking God, didn't you? I mean, you just felt like praising God. I know that's what happened in my life. When I got saved, I just wanted to praise the Lord. You remember the 10 lepers in the story of the Gospels? Jesus healed 10 lepers. 9 of them went away and 1 came back. And he simply came back to thank the Lord Jesus for healing him of his leprosy. In other words, I think one of the first things that happens that is a natural reaction of a person who's been born spiritually is that fact of praise. We can't help but just praise God. I remember when I got saved, listen, I got out of that house trailer. I walked up and down the, I walked up and down the street in front of that old, in that trailer park, and I just praised God. I praised God. In other words, I believe that's what happens. It is natural when we know that we're saved. Jim, did you praise God when you got saved? Sure you did. Don, did you praise God when you got saved? I guarantee you that's one of the natural reactions when we get saved. We just praise God. Now, I don't mean you swung to the chandeliers and jumped over the benches and climbed under the pews. You may have. That's all right. I'm not opposed to that. But I'm just simply saying there is praise. That is a natural thing when a person is born of the Spirit of God. Let me ask you a look at a very interesting story in the book of Acts chapter 3, if I can find it right quick. Acts chapter 3, if you can find it quickly, look at this. Acts chapter 3, and what an interesting truth this is. Acts chapter 3. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that enter the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, and said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now watch this. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and what? Praising God. That's one of the natural reactions of a person who has been touched of the Lord. There's a praise that comes out of his heart. I mean, he's thankful for what the Lord did. I'll never forget when I got saved. I'll guarantee you now, I'm as happy as anybody in the world could be. The burden of sin is lifted. Condemnation was gone. And there was nothing but praise in my heart to the dear Lord. Not only that, but I believe a natural reaction to a person who is spiritually born again, I believe there is the reaction of prayer. I mean, he can't help. I mean, he just wants to talk to the Lord. He wants to pray. You remember when Saul of Tarsus got saved on the road to Damascus? Remember this? In Acts chapter 9 and verse 11. Here's an interesting statement. You want to read this? Acts 9 and verse 11. Let me turn over here and read this so I can find it right quick. 9 and verse 11 of the book of Acts. And the verse says this. Verse 11. "And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus." Watch this. "For behold, he prayeth." Isn't that interesting? One of the natural reactions of a spiritually healthy individual is prayer. Not only praise, but I mean he wants to talk to the Lord. He knows God has done for it. Isn't that right, Jim? I mean, he wants to talk to the Lord. And prayer is a part of his life. It's just as much a part of his life if he is spiritually healthy as a person who is physically healthy wants to talk to others. So prayer is indeed a part and an expression of the person who is spiritually healthy. Not only that, but I believe there's passion. There's passion. And I mean by that desire. There's a desire for the Word of God. I never will forget when I got saved, Brother Guy. That whole summer, I sat out under the oak tree in the back of my mom and dad's house. And listen, I ate this book. I just couldn't get enough of it. I couldn't understand, Brother Ira. I just wanted to understand everything that God had to say. I wanted the Lord to just give it to me in all one lump sum. But the old story is, there was a passion for the Word of God. As Peter said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. I believe one of the natural reactions of a person who has been born again is a desire, a passion for the Word of God. Do you believe that? Say amen. None of that. But I believe there's a natural reaction in the spiritual person's life, and that is related to his practice. I believe he wants to live according to what our Lord teaches us. Now, I question people who call themselves Christians, and yet they violate and they reject the Word of God. I question that. I believe that one of the natural reactions is to do what God has taught us and instructed us to do. In Ephesians 4, at verse 1, 2, and 3, Paul instructs us in this way. Let me find this right quick. Ephesians 4, and verse 1, and he says this, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. With all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing. You know what that word means? Putting up with one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity in the bond of peace. I believe that's the practice of the child of God. I believe he wants to be like the Lord Jesus. And as the Holy Spirit works in him, he produces in him, according to Ephesians 5, at verse 22 and 23, the very fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and so forth. I believe that's the practice of his life. That's a natural reaction of the person who is spiritually healthy. Now, a lot of times, sin comes in. It's like a virus. And it keeps us from really doing and practicing what the Lord knows and has commanded us to practice. Not only that, but a fourth thing is participation. Or I could call it partnership. Partnership. When a fella is saved, now watch, the natural reaction and desire is fellowship with God's people. I don't know about you, but I think I know. I love to be with God's people. Do you? Man, I love to be with God's people. I love to feel that I'm in a partnership. And here in our church, that's what it's all about. We're in a partnership of spreading the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're in the fellowship of the gospel. But we're also in fellowship with a group of God's people. And there may be things we don't like in the lives of other people. But if they're God's people and they're saved by the grace of God, there is a desire to participate with them in the furtherance of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are co-laborers, as Paul said. We're laborers together with him. And then let me close with simply saying, I think one of the natural spiritual reactions is that of preaching. I don't mean standing up here behind the pulpit and slobbering and stammering and stubbering and all of that. I'm talking about witnessing. I'm talking about witnessing. This thing of salvation, if it's really real in you, now listen to me, is too good to keep. Now, how long have you been keeping it? This thing of being saved, too good to keep. Man, alive. To know that a fellow, to know how to tell a fellow how to stay out of hell, how to have his sin forgiven. If you really believe that, you ought to be preaching. You ought to be telling people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe that's a natural desire, witnessing to others and telling them of the grace of our God. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "And after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. In other words, I believe there's a desire. Now, I think there's a desire in your heart to let others know of Jesus Christ, if you're saved. Now, if you're not saved, I don't expect that to be there. And yet again, sometimes there are things that really smother that desire. We need to pray that God will inflame us with such a desire like we had when we first got saved. I remember when I first got saved with a guy, I want to tell everybody about it. I want to tell my old high school mates. I want to tell everybody I knew about getting saved. Oh, that desire would be inflamed and burning in our heart. And I believe that is there unless something's gone wrong. Unless something's gone wrong. So it is in the natural desire of a mother to love her child, a husband to love his wife, a man to love health, a man to love food. He will do that naturally unless something has gone wrong. And so it is, unless something has gone wrong in our lives spiritually, we want to praise God. We want to find ourselves in prayer. We want to find ourselves practicing the things that God has taught us to practice in His Word. We will want to have a partnership, a participation with others in the kingdom of God and in the spreading of the gospel. And I believe we want to be preaching. I believe we want to be telling somebody else about Jesus Christ. How long has it been since you told somebody about Jesus? How long has it been since you just said, "Hey, I want to tell you about the greatest thing that ever happened in my life. I want to tell you how I met Jesus Christ and how He changed my life." Now, people can argue with you about theology, but they can't argue with you about what's happened in your life. I mean, you know what's happened. And I'll guarantee you, the Bible talks about those who have without natural affection. Without natural love. God grant that we'll just give way to that spiritual love. That love that ought to be natural to us. It is unnatural for a Christian not to praise God. It is unnatural for us not to pray. It is unnatural for us not to practice in our lives what the Lord has taught us in His Word. It is unnatural for us not to want to have fellowship one with the other. There are a lot of folks who want to isolate themselves. Now listen, you can find all kinds of reasons to isolate yourself. Somebody didn't do this. Somebody didn't do that. You don't like what they do. Now listen, don't ever in your life confuse a person with what they practice in their life. We'll love people. We can hate their practice. We can hate their sin. We can hate what they do. But don't ever despise a person that God has shed His blood for and gave His life for. You can despise what they do, but not who they are. They're a child of God, just like you are. We live, folks, in an unnatural world. It's not what God intended it to be in the first place. Far be it from that. Violence, hatred, murder, rape, molestation, all of these things, that's not what God intended it. We live in an unnatural world. the natural world is seen prior to Adam's sin against God. That's the natural world. That's what God intended it to be. But sin comes in and makes a great difference in the lives of people on this earth. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can experience in our hearts that what you've intended for us to experience. We thank you that Jesus is the healer. We thank you that he is the Savior, that he can correct the things that have brought us into this unnatural state. And there are those, Lord, who have fallen into that unnatural state, mothers who do not love their children, their babies, wives who do not love their husbands, husbands who do not love their wives. Oh, God, bring us back to the place where we can experience your peace and your blessing. Now, Father, if some of us tonight have been walking in the unnatural way, may we commit ourselves to you and let you work through us, and we'll thank you. If there's somebody here tonight that's not saved, oh, may they come to Jesus. Unnatural for people not to love you. It's unnatural for people not to be saved. It's unnatural for people not to believe on the Lord Jesus. May they come and know that you are provided in Jesus Christ. We'll thank you. In his name we pray. Let's stand with our heads bowed, please.